Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272. Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.
Yep, it's coming whenever I figure out how to make this radio network 24/7, 7 days a week. 365, whatever Satan said. And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Green Ideas Radio Show again this week on Memorial Day weekend. And Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I just want to say nothing's ever safe when you and I are left alone on the air for an hour and a half.
I know. Well, guess what? It's actually only a half hour today, but because we're MIA, missing in action, Laurie, she's decided to take another Saturday off. You know, I think she knows somebody up top in the organization to take all these days off.
No. You have to understand something. I sent her on assignment to find some decent food news, because the crap that I've been coming up with is just terrible.
Well, you said it, I didn't. I usually say that. That's usually my line, but yes.
Hey,
but actually,
you know what? I'll throw myself under the bus, you know? It's okay.
No, actually, I have to admit, believe it or not, and this is tough for me to say so early in the show, but last week your information was very entertaining. All the stuff we talked about bugs, that was, if you missed it, folks, you missed a good one. And then you talked about all the cancer-causing food categories and how we're all going to die, which we're all going to die anyway, but from eating all the good stuff. So, yeah, that was interesting stuff. So, yeah, I hate to admit it, Winesart, but you're fitting right in on the show, eating, filling in. You know, you don't look as good as Laurie. No way. But other than that, you're
no, but my hair is better than yours, for sure.
Yeah, let's not get into that. I told you, ponytails and beard is what the masses are looking for, though.
maybe some think that, but
yeah. Well, the ones that need to do a poll. By the way, folks, on this show today, Brian and I are going to chit chat about whatever. I never know what we're going to talk about because I don't like to know anything. Prepare for the show, and then we're going to be playing replays from shows we had this week. From if you haven't listened yet, we have Chef Christo, the Christo Show, that airs every Wednesday. And then also we have Def Conversation with John Dilley that airs every Tuesday night. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to the shows, I'm going to be replaying those shows today after Brian and I shoot craft here for a little while. And then if you haven't had a chance to listen to those guys, they come on the Great Ideas Radio Network, and we will be playing that. Plus, I'm lazy, didn't prepare before this show, and it's Memorial Day weekend, which to me, Memorial Day weekend is like the first day of summer anyway. And I'm sitting here watching birds doing it out here in front of the window while we're doing it. So I guess it's spring, but to me, it's like the first day of summer when it's Memorial Day weekend. And anyway, so Brian, do you have any food news? By the way, I have to say something. Laurie's here. She's not missing in action. She just doesn't want to be on the radio today. And when I said the thing about the birds doing in front of us, she just opened her mouth and went, "Oh my God."
That means you know what happens though. That means that we can say all the words that she won't
let us say
when she's on the air. So,
well, if we did what Goldilocks wants us to do and not say all the words that Goldilocks won't let us talk about and say, it'd be like a religious show. What'd you say today? What'd you call it? What show?
Oh, no. I think conversations about God with Grill and the Czar.
That's the show we should probably do. When we go 24/7, I think we should have a late night show just about that. You're not supposed to talk about religious politics.
We may be hearing crickets after that one.
Yeah, we will be. Speaking of crickets, I'm going to have a bug-be-cue this weekend. How about you?
A bug-be-cue?
I'm
going to have a bug-be-cue for sure. For sure. So what's going to be on your big green egg? I don't have a big green egg because the sponsors don't think I'm worthy of a big green egg. So,
well, you
unfortunately,
know,
I don't have one.
I got to have a talk with them, by the way. We'll have to, off air, we'll have a little discussion about what we can do about getting us all bug-be-cues so we can all do our big green egg and cook our crickets. But I don't know what I'm doing. Actually, I got in late. I was traveling all last week and just got in late last night at 2 a.m. And first of all, I just want to tell you, the smorgasbord of meals that I had while I was gone, it went from medallions wrapped in bacon to Grand Slam breakfasts. I mean, that's the variations of stuff I had while I was traveling, and got in late.
So we don't have to rehash the whole cancer thing because we know we're already getting it.
Yeah, I know I'm going to get it. I don't care.
And I think I even sent you a text during the week that I was eating a bacon-flavored potato chips. So that's not the double whammy?
Yeah, the double whammy there. Who makes those, by the way?
I got them at 7-Eleven. They were their own brand. But they probably have them made by someone like, you know, Lay's or, you know, Route 11 or, you know, some big company, I'm sure.
Yeah. Have you had those kettle chips that are jalapeno?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love those.
Those are good too.
I love those. I'm catching up to you. I'm gonna surpass you, and I might die a little bit sooner than you, because I'm really working hard to find all those things that are gonna kill me.
Hey, before we go to, I know you got a little food news that you want to talk about, but who in the heck is calling here? Somebody's calling in. I think I know who this is. Hold on a second. Brian, you want to take a phone call?
Sure. Why not? That's what we're here for, aren't we?
I guess so. Hello. This is Green Ideas Radio. Good morning.
Hey there. It's Christo.
I knew it was
hey,
you.
Hey, Christo. What's happening?
Come on. Hey, Brian. Not a whole lot. Green, by now you don't know my phone number? It's always a big surprise.
I know. Well, I thought that was you, but I wasn't sure because I don't want to give your number up on the air, but so what's going on, Christo?
Well, I know we're going to do a replay of my show today, and I'm really excited about that, and I just wanted to throw a plug for my Wednesday show coming up. I'm going to be talking to Anne-Marie Kostick. I hope I said her last name right. She's with Pod 72 Chocolate, so we're going to have an exciting chocolate show coming up on Wednesday.
Exciting. So you're going to be talking about chocolate. So there you go. I didn't know that. So see, he doesn't give me any information until like the day of the show. And then he says, oh, by the way, my guest is going to be so-and-so. Well, thank you for telling us that, Christo. Now I can prepare for it.
Well, you never want to know. So, you know, why shouldn't your guests and hosts surprise you just as well as I do?
By the way, Christo, your last guest, which we're going to play that in a little bit on the replay show, your last guest was fantastic. And, folks, if you didn't hear the show, you need to listen in later on today and listen to the show we had Wednesday. He was a caterer. He's in Oregon, right, Christo?
He's in Portland. he's an amazing guy. If you look him up, you'll find his story goes even deeper than catering. But he's just a gentle, creative, just a nice guy. You'll hear it. You can hear it.
Yeah, his name is John. Is it John Pauls? Is that right? Pronounce it
John,
yes, right?
John Paul.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
he's a good guy. It's a really good show. In fact, it's probably one of your best shows. And actually, it wasn't as boring as normal.
You've been officially thrown under the bus, Christo.
There you go, you see. Well, you know, finally I was talking to somebody where I know something about what he's talking about, so I'm able to ask more, what's that word, poignant question.
There you
poignant,
go.
Yes, that's a good word. It's, you know, that's a word that's a little beyond the grill man, because he can't handle anything more than one syllable. So, you know, we have to
teach him these words. Want to know that it's like baloney. It has a silent G. There's a lot of other silent G words out there.
So if I talk like you guys, it would be the brilliant ideas foodie radio show, right? G is silent
G.
Exactly.
Well, Christo, we'll be playing your show here shortly, and thank you for calling in. Everybody, check out his show on Wednesday. It's 10 a.m. Eastern time, and he'll be talking chocolate. And I think you'll enjoy the show. Yes, this last week was good, so tune in. And Christo, unless you got anything else to go say, I'm gonna let you go.
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. Talk
all
to
right,
you guys later.
Well,
have fun.
One of these days, I'll recognize your number. All right, take care. All right, there you go. So, Brian, let's see. We got 19 minutes.
Well,
we got
You mentioned being on the road and away all week, and I want to know where you were earlier in the week.
Earlier
because
in the week.
Because my story kind of makes me think that you could have been the guy, and the guy that they're mentioning, you know, might be you using an alias. You weren't in New York by any chance, were you?
No, I wasn't in New York. I was on the other coast. I was on the left coast.
Oh, man. This sounded so you. Anyway, New York man steals bread trucks, makes deliveries in his underwear.
He did what?
Apparently, a man stole a bread truck on the Upper East Side in Manhattan earlier this week, while the delivery guy was in one of the accounts delivering bread. He proceeded to drive crazy up in the Upper East Side. He was in his underwear, and he started to make deliveries that were random. They had nothing to do with the accounts that were being delivered to. And they finally caught him at LaGuardia Airport because he was tailgating someone for about 7 miles, who finally called the police, and apparently the police already had a report about the stolen truck and whatnot, but it's just hysterical. So,
in other words,
I ask
the,
you
in
again,
the guy was,
where
hey,
were
wait
you?
Wait, I got a joke. So in other words, the guy was just loafing around?
Yeah, he could have been. So apparently there were $5,000 worth of bread, and it was the good bread, not the bad stuff, because it you know they say it's you know like sourdough and everything. But I'm going to read you the first sentence because I want you to remember one word in this sentence. A man stole a New York City bread truck and began delivering loaves of savory baked goods to random businesses. The bakery owner said on Thursday. Remember the word savory. We might use it later.
Oh, that's right. You like that word savory. And by the way, I actually was going into the bread truck business because I understand in that business you make a lot of dough.
You are killing me.
I know.
We're supposed to be the show that tells everybody about trends in food and trends and whatnot. So I just decided to look up some trending stuff. And I found one that says, "The Tastes You'll Crave." 2013 has been a year full of cupcakes, sriracha, and pretzel buns. What's coming next? Forecast from the National Restaurant Association, restaurant trade magazines, and restaurant research firms map the food trends that will have diners salivating in 2014. Now,
okay.
You know what? I think you and I are so over all this trend crap. You know, there are trends in what's going to kill you. There are trends in what you're going to eat. Everything's so gosh darn trendy. And I'm just so over it.
Well, it's just
so
like
the
everything's a trend. I mean, why do people think these things up? Why is it, okay, what are the trends? I can't wait. I'm just waiting for this savory moment.
Okay. Locally sourced everything. So, you know, the whole farm-to-table thing. Then the next one says veggies galore.
Wait. You know how I like to interrupt you. Did you know that locally grown, did we talk about this on the show? I can't remember. Do you know what the terminology
locally
grown?
I'm sure we
did. Half the things I don't remember we talked about. But locally grown is actually 400 miles away is considered locally grown. That means someone in New York selling produce in New York could actually be in Raleigh, North Carolina, and be considered locally grown. That ain't right.
Exactly. Look at the down in Union Square in Manhattan, they have a farmer's market. I don't remember which days of the week it is, but you have farmers from Pennsylvania coming in and a lot of Amish farmers. Now, the Amish they don't drive and they don't use electricity and they don't use, you know, they don't use anything. How the hell do they get to New York City in their little horse and buggy?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen the horse and buggies parked anywhere in Union Square, and I used to shop at that farmer's market all the time.
And what day
so
of the week is
you're
that?
Right. Locally grown is not necessarily locally grown.
Wait a minute. What day of the week do they have that farmer's market?
I don't remember. It's some time midweek, but I don't remember.
All right, so let's say it's Wednesday. So when the Amish guy delivers, what's he leave, like the Saturday before?
Yeah, which means the vegetables aren't fresh anymore.
Exactly.
Because they've been sitting in his little horse and buggy without any ice because he can't make ice either. Oh, I'm so tired of it. And then, of course, vegetables galore. So we have to buy the locally grown vegetables. Now, here's one that's funny. Healthier kids' meal. Have you ever seen a kids' meal that was healthy?
Well,
and will
now,
you ever see a kids' meal that's healthy?
Yeah, well, now at McDonald's they have, you know, it cracks me up. They have, apple slices instead of french fries? Now, come on. What kid is going to choose apple slices over french fries? Zero.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what this says. Watch for more signs of apples, yogurt, and baked fries instead of french fries. Okay, give me a break. Gluten-free, and we know that's trendy. Now, I understand a lot of the people that have celiac disease, that's a big thing for them, and gluten-free has become, you know, it's become the next, what was the thing before that? No-carb. You know, so you had no carb bread, no carb pasta, no carb this, no carb that. But I think because there's become such a greater awareness of gluten-free, that now all the trendy people are latching on to gluten-free. So, yeah, whatever. Instant ice cream. Have you ever heard about this one?
What?
Instant ice cream.
No, but I'm sure you're going to tell me all about it.
Well, it just says that it says our love of instant gratification and artisanal handcrafted foods combined in Smitten's Ice Cream's new 90-second made-while-you-wait frozen treats. It's some company in San Francisco. But, I mean, they're using nitrogen to freeze the, you know, because that's a big thing now with new cuisine is using, you know, liquid nitrogen to do things.
So it's like a machine where you could order it on the spot. Okay.
Yeah, next one was nuts. Now, I thought we read a couple of weeks ago how nuts were bad for you. And now, nuts are high protein, healthy nuts, and seeds are valued by carb cutting diners for a health energy boost. Okay.
You ever notice the nuts, the ones that think that nuts are not healthy are usually nuts themselves?
Yeah. The next one, I don't think will ever happen, and I wish Christo was still here with me because he would back me up. It says better quality pizza. Well, I'm sorry. If you don't live in New York City or somewhere in Jersey, you're never going to get better quality pizza, and I'm sure I'm going to get hell from all the people in Chicago that think Chicago-style pan pizza is great. I think it sucks. They're claiming that better quality pizza is going to be the hot thing in 2014. Well, everybody's going to have to move to New York and New Jersey, as far as I'm concerned. Artisan pizza?
Dough
and cheese and sauce.
My best pizza ever. You know where it was?
Where?
Memphis, Tennessee. And I was at a hotel.
Did it have barbecue on it?
It had barbecue sauce. It was in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was at a hotel late at night, and the restaurants were closed. And they had, you know, you go to the hotel, they have those, you can dial in and order stuff. So there was a pizza place, and they delivered to my room. Of course, I didn't get there till like 12:30 at night. But it was a barbecue chicken pizza with onions and other stuff on it. It was the best pizza. I don't know if it's because I was extremely hungry in Memphis, Tennessee at 12:30 at night, but it was the best pizza I ever had. I don't even know the name of the company that did it, but anyway, just a side note.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. You're losing me because for me, pizza, I'm a pizza purist, and pizza is like, you know, cheese and sauce and the best cheese and the best sauce and the best dough. And a pizzeria knowing how to combine those three things together. Chicken wings. Come on, haven't chicken wings been hot and trendy for years?
Literally
they're claiming
hot.
That it's
yeah.
only been bar food until now. I'm sorry, chicken wings have been a hot thing for a long time and not just bar food.
I mean,
so
Buffalo,
I don't know where
Wild
these
wings,
people get this.
I mean, they're going crazy right now with, you know, stores popping up everywhere. But you're right. Hot wings have been around for forever. I mean, in fact, oh, gosh, I remember when we actually worked on some of the first recipes back in the, I guess that was the 80s for hot wings. So, you know, oh, yeah, that's a trend there, Brian.
Yeah. Next one, upscale comfort food. So they're suggesting that, you know, kicked up mac and cheese is going to be the big thing in 2014. Well, they've been doing that for a long time too. But the example that they gave was such as this mac and cheese update, Italian style, with sauteed salami, garlic, peppers, sun-dried tomatoes, and onions. I'm sorry, but not for me in mac and cheese. So I think they're going too far with this trendy stuff.
Yeah.
I don't understand the next one. They said mashed up dishes. Do you understand what mashed up dishes are?
Well, Laurie talked about that on one show about mashed up dishes. I forget what it was. She's up there telling me now. She doesn't want to be on the show, but she's now talking to me across the room from me. She's reading a magazine, but now she's filling in the blanks. What did we talk about, Laurie? Was it the mashed up food? What is mashed up food? Oh, mix and match.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what they said.
See, listen, there's
it says mashed up food. Ever had a dessert pizza like coconut chocolate with strawberry pie shown here? There was a picture of it, and I thought it looked disgusting. I've dabbled with some with some dessert pizzas, but again, pizza is pizza. Stop putting pineapple and barbecue sauce and pulled pork and all kinds of crap on it. Pizza is pizza. Leave it alone. Okay, here we go. Remember the word I told you, remember?
Savory.
Oh, hey, you got your brain working today.
Yes.
Okay, umami. Do you
really
know what umami means?
Okay, now don't bring my mother into this. What?
Umami, U-M-A-M-I.
I have no clue what that is.
Umami is basically means a savory taste,
if you look up umami, they talk about that being the fifth taste. So you have sweet and sour and salt and bitter, and then savory. Well, to me, savory can be a combination of some of those other things together, but they're making it its own category. And like with everything else that they have to be trendy with, they're using the Japanese term umami. It's kind of like, where did we get vinaigrette from? I mean, why can't we just call it salad dressing? I mean, you know, we have vinaigrettes, we have gastriques, we have gelées, we have all this stuff that's just so trendy because they have to make things more attractive on a menu. And they look at it, oh, it has a vinaigrette. Oh, wow, we got to get that because it has a vinaigrette. You know?
So many people are...
Whatever.
They're just getting crazy.
So umami is the big word now, you know, in cooking for savory things. And there's apparently there's a burger place that is called Umami Burger, and they may have started this whole trend. The last one they listed was biscuits. So they're like, move over the pretzels and the croissant buns, but biscuits. If you live in the South, biscuits have been around forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Buttermilk biscuits. My grandmother used to make them.
Yeah, but they're suggesting that now they're going to make sandwiches with biscuits and burgers with biscuits. No, you don't put like, sliced ham in a biscuit. Well, you can do a ham biscuit, but it's not the same thing, you know, or a burger. The thing falls apart. I mean, it's...
What cracks me up is someone actually somewhere is being paid lots of money to say that biscuits is a trend.
Exactly. You know, and that's why I find this crap and read it to you, because you know that the two of us are so into, let's just have a good time, let's just eat the damn salad dressing and not call it vinaigrette and not, you know... and not get into all these trendy words and trendy foods. You know, we're just going to live our lives and do what we do. Yeah, that's a trend.
But you know what? The nice thing about it is they do this stuff, and that's why we can have a show every week just to talk and make fun of all these people. So I guess they should keep doing it, because that way we can just sit back and make fun of them. Now I'm going to take a quick break because we need to throw in an ad and also come back here and get everything started with these replay shows. And oh, let's see here. Big Green Egg. Got to find the button. Here it is. Everybody, I'm going to be cooking on the Big Green Egg this weekend. And like I said, I'm going to be having a bug-be-cue. So press the button.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yep, go get yourself a Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com. Punch in your zip code, find a dealer near you, and Big Green Egg, if you're listening to our show, we need a few more because we need to do some more grilling all around the countryside. And anyways, it makes the best food. No matter what you make, if you're a griller like me who usually screws things up, the Big Green Egg makes it dummy-proof and easy. So get yourself a Big Green Egg, and let's see, what time is it? It's time for me to play the first show. We mentioned Christo's show. And Krista had a show on Wednesday and has it every Wednesday now at 10 a.m. And if you missed this last week, it was a great show. And I'm going to play the replay and let you guys hear what's going on in Krista's world. And then we'll come back after the replay of the show. And I will then just switch over to DEF CON Conversations, which is John Dilley's show about hot sauce. Another great show that we recorded Tuesday night. So everybody hang tight. And I guess, Brian, we're actually going to sign off here as I play these replays. And have a nice Memorial Day weekend, as I call it, the
first
day of summer.
Hey, you too. I just want to tell everybody, have a great Memorial Day. Let's remember our fallen, you know, people that sacrificed for us. And everybody should have, you know, should party hardy, but, you know, party safe.
I agree.
You know, be responsible. You know, make sure, like the guy who called in last week about the, you know, the open pit fires and everything, you know, really keep, you know, your eye on your grill and make sure things are going right, and, you know, we don't want to see people hurt.
And by the way, Brian, before we go, Laurie's sitting across from me, and when you said keep your eye on your grill, she says she's keeping an eye on her grill.
God. I'm going to go to sleep now.
All right, have a nice Memorial Day weekend. All right, everybody hang tight. We're going to play the replay for Christo's show, and then I'll be switching over to Deaf Conversation with John Dilley. Everyone hang tight, and we will see you next week.
Blog
Cheers, guys.
Video.
Here comes the big bad wolf.
Today, but let me just go through a couple little things of what I try to like to do here, and that's to tell everybody what's fresh and tasty. And cherries, are still, they were happening last week. They're really happening this week, the bean cherries. And those of you that live in the Northeast or Northwest or a little bit of a cooler place, and if you planted gardens or if you know someone that has organic gardens or inorganic gardens, all the little lettuces and all those little things and peas, all that stuff's popping up right now. Great time for all of that stuff. Super fresh, super tender. I don't know if you've ever had fresh picked greens. It's unlike anything else that you've ever had. Grilling tips. I don't really have a grilling tip for you today because I've just been making hot dogs. I've been feeding my kid. Burn them if you like them. Don't burn them if you don't like them burnt. That's my grilling tip for this week. I know, high tech, really high tech. What's cooking in my kitchen? Again, I guess we should just cancel the show today. I don't have anything. I feel like I've been on vacation. It's just been so nice. We've had such wonderful weather that I've just been probably just absolutely doing a little bit of nothing, and it feels so good to do that. So without much further ado, we're going to bring on a guest who has been doing way more than nothing. He's an incredible chef, a great person. I've been following him for quite some time. Tastings are amazing, impeccable. He's got a fantastic business happening out in the Pacific Northwest, Metzaluna Fine Catering. Look him up, www.metzalunafinecatering.com. Welcome, John Polk. Hey, John.
Hey, Christo. Good morning.
Good morning. I know it's early over there for you. You're up before the chickens.
I've got coffee in hand, and the weather here, like New York, is beautiful, so it's a good day to be up early.
It sure is, right? And it's, I don't know if you've been enjoying some wonderful good weather, but we have. I've seen a few of your little posts on Facebook and stuff. It's been pretty nice out there for you too lately.
Yeah, we've had an unusually, you know, we're known as the place where it rains in the Northwest. Seattle and Portland are some of the wettest cities in the United States, but we've had an unusually gorgeous and beautiful spring. So the top's been down on the car for the past week, and I've been cruising around and going to farmers markets and enjoying this beautiful spring weather.
Well, I don't know if any of you have logged on and seen John. He's always tan, so you must have that top down all the time.
You've always got
a. I get a little assistance from the machine, to be honest with you. When you live here in the rainiest place in the country,
we're both. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say when you live in the rainiest place in the country, you need those tanning bed rays during the wintertime to give you some great vitamin D. So.
You know what? I think in small doses, there's nothing wrong with that at all. If you're actually getting vitamin D from it, that's important.
That's what I get in small doses. But anyway, enough about
that. Well, I know they make these little sunshine lamps that people can put on their desk, and it's just for that same reason. It's kind of a soothing thing for people.
Yes, yes.
So we're both caterers. I'm a chef for one. You're a chef for your own. I don't mind saying that I've often looked at your page and your stuff in the past, and even still, for inspiration and motivation. Where do you come up with all this stuff, and where do you store it all, and what happens with all these things? You have amazing displays.
Well, I really appreciate that. I have to be honest. I follow you, too. And as a matter of fact, I want to tell you something that I don't think I've told you before as we've chatted. Nike, you know, the sporting goods company, is headquartered here in Portland. And in January, we did an event for 450 people, 6 courses, 3 items per course, and we used a lot of your recipes, as a matter of fact. And I don't think I told you that, but we did. We used a lot of your phenomenal recipes. And I never gave you credit for that. And Nike loved the event. We pulled it off.
Well, isn't that something? That's so flattering. Well, thanks. I mean, even in retrospect, that's an amazing thing to hear. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, and so, you know, this far away from New York to Portland, we're mimicking you as well. And so I started my catering company, just a little bit of background, 10 years ago. Matter of fact, June 1st will be our 10th anniversary. I went to culinary school when I was 40 years old, so I had been in public relations and nonprofit work up to that point, and I had a little midlife hiccup like a lot of guys do about that age, and I never had stepped foot in a commercial kitchen before the age of 40, and I had thrown great parties all my adult life, and when I was married at the time, my wife said, why don't you go to culinary school and completely, you know, follow your dreams? So I did that and loved culinary school, and then very shortly after started life as a personal chef and a private chef, and just it wasn't that rewarding because you're cooking for one person or one family. And then you go home, and I just didn't feel like it was very rewarding. And I like the big splash and, as you mentioned, beautiful presentation. And so over time it morphed into catering. And so now I have a staff of 25, and we do beautiful, glamorous catered events. We're probably known in Portland as the company with the most gorgeous presentation. And so I don't know where I get a lot of the ideas. Sometimes I'll be in the shower, and something will come to me, and I'll have to jump out and write it down, or I'll be laying in bed at night, and I'll think, hey, I want to, take a Philly cheesesteak sandwich and put it in an egg roll wrapper and deep fry it, or, you know, it's hard to, as you know, you're an artist too. Chefs are also artists, and I think when you're an artist at heart, ideas come to us in the strangest places, you know?
No, I know completely because I like taking baths in the morning, and that's where I kind of meditate and get all these ideas. And that's the same thing. And I try to approach that period of time as a moment where I'm trying to clear my mind and get fresh new ideas. Completely relate. The wake up in the middle of the night and write it down, I need to get better at that because I don't get up and I don't write it down, and I wake up in the morning and I go, what was that? What was I thinking? So, but, you know, we're probably close to the same age. I might be older than you. I don't know. But, you know, memory, it gets complicated. You know, it's a weird thing because crystal clear memories of youth and things like that, it's that short-term burst that if you don't grapple it and hold on to it, that's, you know, thoughts come and go so fast that it's that short-term memory thing, and I got to keep that one fine-tuned. But, you know, it's tiers and layers and levels and just beautifulness that you're doing. Where does all that stuff go? You must have a huge warehouse.
Well, I'll tell you, a few years ago, I scanned the country, and I was very diligent about this. I went to the largest cities in the country, and I typed in catering, and I wanted to see what other caterers were doing across the country. And I'll be honest, there's a caterer in New York called RAM, R-A-M. I don't know if you've heard of them. Have you heard of RAM caterers?
I haven't. No, I haven't heard of them, but I'm going to look them up right now.
They have the most gorgeous displays I had ever seen in my life. And they use a lot of acrylic and a lot of tiers and a lot of layering. And RAM catering in New York was the inspiration for my style aesthetic. This was going back about 6 years. And we do a very ultra-contemporary, modern, very sleek kind of design with our food because, as you know, as a chef, people eat with their eyes first. And so we want to draw people in with the beauty of food. My goal as a caterer is not just to serve good food, but it's to create a memorable experience. So I want them to be dazzled with the beauty, with the aesthetic, with good service, with being treated well. And I train my servers very meticulously, really in fine customer service. So I had been to parties that were catered where servers would just stand there and, you know, look off to the ceiling. They were very detached and uninvolved. And so I very much intentionally train my staff to be very kind and warm-hearted, just as though they have invited someone into their own home for dinner. And I tell that to my clients, that we want to treat you so well, you'll feel like a guest at your own party. And I think that has served us well because, let's face it, there's so many options in catering, so it isn't just about food anymore. It has to be the whole experience.
Most definitely, you know, and that's so nice to hear about how you get your staff on board with all of that. I've had to work at some big hotels where they have union people, and you have no choice but to use these union people, the servers that they have. And as you were saying that, it was just making me giggle to myself because this one hotel, I won't say where, it looks like they've hired stunt doubles for aging actors. So, like, there's the Abe Vigoda lookalike, and he's the lackadaisical waiter that doesn't want to serve anything, you know? But it's like, just imagine Abe Vigoda as a server. He is just uninspired. he holds the platter, takes one step out the door, stands there for 10 seconds, walks back in and says, nobody wants any. It's like, you didn't go anywhere. Go be personable.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Right.
So that's what sets us apart.
Well, you know, It is that attention to detail, and the details are every step of the way, you know, from the servers to the napkins to, you know, if there's a guy outside holding an umbrella when it's raining, you know? It's every step of the way. There's something there for people to walk away because you don't know what's going to impress upon somebody, you know? The guy who's standing outside with the umbrella when you get out of the cab, that could have just made their day.
Well, exactly. And, you know, after doing this for 10 years, sometimes it gets tiring and I get weary. And to keep it at the level of perfection that we strive for gets hard sometimes. But I have the most fantastic staff. People give me a lot of the credit, but I turn around and give the credit to them. I just have an amazing group of people that have stuck by me over the years, and they care as much about excellence as I do. And it's, you know, I'm very humbled and very undeserving to have people in my life that aren't just there for a paycheck. They truly care about how things taste and how they look and how well people are treated. And, you know, when I go to an event, I'm unusual in the fact that I'm present at all of the large events. I go greet the client, get things set up, and then once the party's started, I kind of slip out the back door. But I always contact the client the next morning and hear rave reviews about how well the staff treated them, and it's just a real honor. And I think, you know, bringing grace into the food industry is really important. I don't have to tell you, we hear horror stories about the way chefs yell and throw things and are demanding, and I set out to be someone different than that, to be kind and caring, and I treat my staff as though we're part of a family, and I think that's why I have the loyalty that I do, and we just have a lot of fun together.
You know, that's really important. I think that yelling chef thing is a stereotype, and I think a lot of people feel that's the person they have to be. So they act in that stereotype. You know, then they also go ahead and get a chef's knife tattooed on their forearm. You know, there's all these stereotypes that people do and participate in that's not necessary. I don't like to yell either. I like to have a professional, calm and cool environment, and everybody should be able to do what they need to do. And with your work, it shows. My God, I keep saying this, but I hope people are logging on to your website. I hope they're checking on your Facebook page. The beauty of this stuff is, I don't know. I mean, I can't just say it enough. It's we both said this about each other, that we're copying or we're looking or we're being inspired, but I'm just in awe. The fact that you have such a loyal staff is a testament to your leadership. It starts right there with you.
I appreciate that. I really love what I do, and it's interesting when you approach an event, as you know, and you know you work for celebrities quite often, which I see on Facebook, and you're doing dinner parties and cocktail parties where very important people are attending, you know, because I follow you. And as you know, the pressure, it can be very, very extremely intense. And, you know, with food, it's hard. Food is not an exact science. You can prepare something a dozen times, and maybe on the 13th time something goes wrong or something gets burned on the bottom of a pan or a chafing dish won't light or something wilts and it's not supposed to, or a dessert falls. And, you know, we're dealing with precarious ingredients.
I know, ordered from a rental company and the inserts for the chafing dishes didn't come.
Right. I mean, so
yeah.
So caterers have we're in a unique position often that restaurants are not, because we're taking food somewhere else. Not only do we have to cook it, but we have to transport. And sometimes our kitchen is a garage somewhere in the basement or in someone's home. We're catering out of a garage. And so maybe your hot box won't get hot enough. And just the tremendous pressure that accompanies doing large events off-site as a caterer poses a challenge. But I think people that are drawn to this kind of work like the adrenaline rush and the pressure. And so I haven't ever done an event where something behind the scenes didn't go wrong. Something, even a little thing, always goes wrong. And it's not that things go wrong, but I think the test of a good catering company is, what do you do when it goes wrong? Can you fix it? Can you switch on a dime? Can you remedy the situation? I always tell my staff, when they're doing something, they get on themselves when something goes wrong or they make a mistake. And I tell my staff, there are no mistakes in this kitchen. All I care about is, can we fix it? How do we remedy the solution? There are going to be mistakes. You know, you may scale a recipe wrong. I don't care about that. I truly don't. People are human. People make mistakes. Good Lord, I make dozens of them every single day. So I have a lot of grace on people. But, the test is, can we fix it? Can we pull it off? And I like that kind of adrenaline. And, you know, you've talked about my displays. I will strategize and map out the display in my head at an event. We're getting ready in 3 weeks to do a very, very high-end bridal shower. We're talking close to $30,000 bridal shower for 64 girls. So this isn't hundreds. This
wow.
is a very intimate bridal shower at a venue. And so we map it out and we strategize it and we do a CAD for the flooring and we try to be meticulous. But at the end, Christo, I try to leave room for that spark of creativity that hits me at the last minute. And it's sometimes is uncomfortable because my staff at the front of the house that are setting up will say, where does this go? Where is this going to go? What's going to go on this? And I said, you know, I don't know. I'll figure it out when I get there. And that leaves some people unnerved and insecure, but that's the way I work. I leave room for what hits me at the moment. When I get to an event, I may completely switch it up based on some idea. It's interesting. 5 minutes before
yes,
setup, something will hit me, and I'll see it, and I didn't see it before, and I just have kind of
right.
given myself
anything to
the
do
room.
It too. Like, yeah,
pardon me?
Yeah, like the traffic flow. No, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, because that is so critical, is the being able to change gears if you need to. You know, you might have gone into the room, and it was empty, and nobody was there, and you had it all figured out, and then all of a sudden you see a few people in the room, and you're like, wait a minute. Traffic flow is going to go different than I had imagined, you know?
Exactly,
so.
Exactly. And I think, you know, as caterers, we face that. And I think if you have, we have to have the mindset of being flexible and being able to change. And I've seen over time, if I have staff members who are too rigid and unwilling to bend, it doesn't work. And so I try to say to them and coach them, relax, open up to change. We have to, ultimately, our goal is to please that client. So it doesn't matter what happens in the back, as long as we can pull it together to please that client. That's the ultimate goal. And as a chef and an owner, truly at the end of the day, that's all I care about, is pleasing that client.
Yes, and you'll probably agree with me on this. Maybe you won't, I don't know. But I've found that larger events, as difficult as they are less stressful for me than smaller events. Smaller events require the same amount of work as a larger event. People don't seem to understand that. Like, I take just as much stuff to a dinner party for 16 people as I take to an event for 400. I might have more food, but I still have the same stuff. But at a large event, if two people don't like something, there's 398 other people there. No one's going to really know. At a small, intimate dinner party, if someone doesn't like something, they turn to their person sitting next to them and going, I'm not sure about this. And they're like, oh, you too, me too? Because nobody wants to be the person that likes something that no one else likes. So before you know, the entire table thinks something's up, right? And it's like, that's pressure. That's stress. It's like big parties, four people don't like something, who cares? Small dinner party, four people don't like something, that's half the room.
You know, I really agree with you on that. Now, I've never really thought of it that way, but you're entirely correct, and I was thinking about how we pack our truck. You're exactly right. I haul as much crap into someone's house for a small dinner, and we'll even do dinner parties as small as eight people when we're not busy. And you're right. It takes the same amount of work and attention to detail to do something small as it does on a large scale. And you're right. When we do something for 300 or 400 people, invariably someone is not going to like something because you can't please 300, 400 people. Goal is, can you please the majority of people? And that I kind of, when I'm with my clients and we're planning menus for large-scale events, we try to vary the menu enough and bring in enough elements like vegan food and gluten-free and vegetarian food so that there's something for everyone in today's era of picky diets and picky eaters. But you're never going to please everybody. And you really, in this business, I'm sure you've noticed, you have to develop a thick skin. And people are very particular about what they put in their mouth every day. And you cannot please everybody. But our goal as a catering company is to please the majority of people. And I found in the Pacific Northwest, you know, there's different food trends and styles all over the country. I'm sure in New York there's certain kinds of styles and palates that are different from here. But in the Pacific Northwest, which is one of the food destinations of the United States, especially Portland, Oregon, we're known for our incredible cuisine and amazing restaurants. People like their food very, very simple here. When I first became a chef, I was using all my fancy chef techniques and using strange ingredients and foams and all of that stuff. People here, probably unlike where you are, don't like that. They want their food simple. They want it clean. They want it fresh. Very few ingredients. We try not to dabble with the food too much and just let the natural flavors of the food to come through. And so we keep the food simple, but we bring and coax as much flavor out of the food as we can. And so I've learned that the simpler the food is, the more it appeals to a larger group.
You know, and that's the same as it is here. As much as I try and vary and work on plating and presentation, it's still simple and flavorful is always going to win over. People get tired of the gimmicks. You know, they might think it's kind of fun or cute and all that, but that's not something that they want. They're not going to want foam because only 10 people like foam. The other 250 people don't even know what it is. You know, they're like, what is that stuff? I'm not going to touch that. You know, they think it's a garnish. They're not sure. That the funny thing about foodies and this world and everything is everybody to some degree is a foodie because we all eat. But everyone has hang-ups, and you never know where those are going to pop up, you know? So
yeah, that's exactly true.
So
I mean, when
I
was a personal chef and I would go in and do my intake information with clients, and I would say to them, it's going to take us about 3 to 4 weeks to be able to cook the food to where you feel like you exactly like it. So give us the space to adjust seasoning and spiciness and saltiness and the flavor so that it tastes like you like it. And people will say, oh, I'm not a picky eater. And I said, well, you've been eating a certain way your entire life. But when someone has to come in and cook for you, they don't know what that is. And it's amazing you're
mm-hmm.
right. As little as a picky eater I think I am, I certainly like things a certain way also. And so I think, you know, going through the years as a chef and a caterer, taking criticism, even though it's hard, is very, very helpful. We have to listen to our clients. I've really learned to listen to my staff. And, you know, try to keep making what
you
do
nailed
better.
It. Right. I like to think that I try to become their grandmother, and I make stuff that they feel they're used to. But you hear that? Robo drums coming back on. My God, this went faster than ever. I want an hour program. John, we could talk forever.
Well, have me on again,
so
Chris.
So. Let's talk again. This is the fastest 30 minutes, and I say that with every guest, but this one went, we just barely scratched the surface here. We're just barely getting going.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you, and we'll continue to follow you.
Yeah, thank you, and I'm going to be watching everything that you do, and that Nike thing, I wonder where my check is. All right. Thank you very much. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
All right. right, there you go, folks. That was the Crystal Show, and if you missed it this Wednesday, that was a great show. And every Wednesday at 10 a.m., the Crystal Show, and as he said earlier in the broadcast, this week he's going to have a chocolatier, I guess is what you call him, joining him. So tune in 10 a.m. this Wednesday, and you'll get to hear the Crystal Show each and every Wednesday. And this is all part of the new Agrarian Ideas Radio Network that we're going to be doing eventually when I ever figure out how to technologically do it. Okay, now I'm going to switch gears, talking about the Agrarian Ideas Radio Network. If you did not hear Tuesday night, the Depth Conversation with John Dilley, I'm going to play the show that John had this past Tuesday night, and actually I was at a remote location at a Denny's, and you'll hear that on the show. On the road, making these shows is difficult, but we pulled it off, and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we have the Deaf Conversation with John Dilley, and he talks about the hot sauce business, and I think this coming week, he's got a chili guy coming on Tuesday night. So if you missed it, here's the replay, and then we'll sign off after the show. And everyone have a nice Memorial Day weekend, and thanks for joining us. And now we're going to switch over to this past Tuesday night show. Everyone have a nice one.
Blog Talk Radio.
Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Respectors. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Hey, 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 welcome back everybody to Agrarian Ideas Radio Network for another Deaf Conversations with John Dilley on the Agrarian Ideas Radio Network. And I'm Agrarian Ideas, and I'm actually broadcasting from a remote location at a Denny's restaurant near you. John, are you there?
Oh, I'm here, man. It's great.
Hey, John, I got to say one thing before you roll with your show. I'm a little disappointed at this Denny's. There is no DEFCON hot sauce anywhere on these tables, so you need to get to working on the Denny's Corporation.
Well, I'll tell you what, grab the damn manager and give him a piece.
I'll do that. All right, go on with your show. I'm gonna grab a grand slam. I'm going to let you go.
All right, man. Well, bon appetit. And last week it was me sitting in front of a restaurant. Now you're sitting at a Denny's. It's freaking awesome, man. So go eat, and here we are. Welcome, everybody. This is John Dilley, Deaf Con Sauces, with another issue of the Deaf Conversations. It's kind of a cool show. We got lined up. We got our guest, Tom Slosser from Tom's Royal Ripping, coming on a little bit. But, it's going to open it up with a couple of things. I'm just going to mention one more time, because it is this coming weekend, Memorial Day weekend. We will be arriving at the Kempton Pepper Jam in Kempton, Pennsylvania, 83 Community Drive. It has the makings to be a very large show. So if you got no plans, get down there, man. It's only $5 to get in. It's on Saturday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday, May 25th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. So plenty of time to hang out. I mean, there's going to be a ton of vendors down there. There's going to be food. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff to do. So if you've never been to one of these outdoor, Chili Head shows, they are a lot of fun. Bring your heat and expect us to hurt you, because that's kind of what we're good at. But what are we going to kind of talk about for a couple minutes here before we bring Tom on? I was talking to Mr. Brilliant there, and it was a good idea to talk about these little farmers markets that pop up from town to town. We've been doing them for years, and as the last couple of weeks have shown, we're really into these small business guys just starting up, and I think the farmers markets, there's something to be said for them. I mean, it's a great way for a company just starting out to kind of get the name out there. It doesn't cost a lot. Some do, some don't. You got to kind of shop around. I mean, some of them are actually free. But it's a great way to, you do multiple markets to increase your exposure, kind of bounce around week to week to different markets. You build a great local customer base, and, it doesn't cost anything for customers to talk to each other, telling you how good your stuff is. You gain vast experience talking to the public at these farmers markets. A lot of people are going to be repeat customers, and you kind of run it by them. What do you think about my products? And hey, if they're coming back to buy them, obviously they like them. And we do actually quite lucrative. It's quite lucrative with the money we're making at these farmers markets. markets on the weekends. So, you know, everybody out there looking for something to do on the weekends, hey, just start checking around. I mean, every town, just about every town, at least around here in New Jersey, has a farmer's market. And they're popping up all over the place. There is one little there's one little Borg-type company out there, the Indoor Farmer's Market. I don't know if that's the name of the company or not, but these things are starting to pop up, and it's kind of like the Home Depot of farmer's markets. So when one of those opens up, it pretty much kills the surrounding farmer's markets. I've known that. I've noticed that for the last couple of years because a couple of shows I used to do have basically closed because the indoor farmers markets and the night in farmers markets. I mean, these guys got deli counters and everything else set up. It has nothing to do with the guys setting up a tent in the middle of a parking lot. But anyway, enough of that. So I figured that'd be a good way to kind of get your name out there for kind of a low price. Another one is go to like your local blogs, like your local message boards, neighborhood message boards and stuff, and you know, put it out there. Try to sign on for some blog parties. You know, don't have to charge much, and people can buy your product there, or you know, do some private parties, stuff like that. I mean, we've done blog parties for years. We bring a whole bunch of turkey fryers and feed the masses with wings. I mean, it works like a charm, and hey, you actually do make a good buck, and it really gets your name out there for an entire neighborhood. But anyway, enough of that. I'm going to get right to our host or our guest here right now, Tom Schlosser from Tom's Royal Rippin' Hot Sauces. I've known this guy for a few years, and I'll tell you, I think it's my lost brother. This guy's a nut. We met many, many moons ago. And Tom, where did we first meet? Was it the Rivalry Grill in Connecticut?
I believe so, man.
That was
a while ago. Yeah.
I think that might have been our first, but man, the four of us, you, me, Maggie, and Diane, we just hit it off. I mean, it's freaking awesome, and you guys have been rolling with it, and it was great setting up next to you guys last year at the New York City show because we actually got a chance to hang out. But Steve Seabury threw such a great show this year, we never had a chance to say shit to each other.
Yeah,
you were right next to us, we never even said hi. I was lucky to get over to your booth to give you a beer.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, Tom, introduce yourself, Tom. Let's see who you are.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Royal Rippin' Hot Sauce. How are you, man?
now you have to admit.
From Stratford, Connecticut.
There you go. Now, you have to admit that the people that really run these companies are our wives, right?
Oh, yeah.
To say otherwise, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get kneecapped.
Well, yeah, I want to eat tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, she cooks for you? Oh, you're lucky.
Of course. Oh, dude. Well,
oh,
I
man.
It. Oh, well,
oh,
here,
oh my God.
That.
Oh, well, yeah.
Right.
She's not in the house, is she?
No, that's the last thing I remember saying, officer, until I woke up with this baseball bat shoved up my butt.
There you go. Now, I get one question I think a lot of people, I'll ask a lot of the guests here, the same thing is, what got you into doing the hot sauce stuff? I mean, what really got, what put the fire under your butt, no pun intended?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, John. I actually started back in November of 2009. Diane had given me a hot sauce making kit for Christmas, like on an impulse buy at a supermarket. And I was like, I'm looking at this shit, and I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm looking at this stuff, and it's like all powders and this and that. And I'm like, wait a minute, man. I was a vegetarian for 6 years. I know how to cook. I know what to do. I can make my own stuff. So I started doing it, you know, getting all fresh peppers, going out, buying all ingredients, and just start doing it. And just came up with like six recipes right off the bat and started going from there. And, you know, I used to give them out to friends for birthdays, Christmas, stuff like that.
Yep.
I had gotten laid off. I'm an art director by profession. Well, a so-called art director. And she's like, well, dude, you're laid off. If you're ever going to take, you know, this thing seriously with the hot sauce, now's the time to do it. And it did. It just took off. I mean, I'm so passionate about it. I know sometimes she's kicking herself in the butt for even suggesting I do it because we're always so busy doing that, you know, from the summer all the way through to the end of December, doing events and doing shows.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like
it's a commitment. It's definitely a commitment.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's so time-consuming, but I love it. I love going out, meeting the people, watching their reactions, you know, watching the big macho guys going, I can handle the hottest thing you got, and I'm like, okay,
that's like one of the best parts.
Oh, my God, it's so satisfying, because I just load up that tap and going, like, here you go, buddy. I pour it out. I'm like, see you in the emergency room.
Well, I'll tell you, no, and what's good is, I mean, you're kind of like us too. You have fun at these, even the big shows and the small shows. You make them fun. I mean, I know personally, I haven't had a real vacation in, what, eight or nine years since we actually started the company, and I have not been on one vacation since. And we make the, like, when we go to trade shows and stuff like that, we make those our vacations. We make ourselves have fun, and it just falls into place. I think you're a lot like that because you're laughing. Oh. I mean, you're laughing it up at every single show I've seen yet.
Well, dude, that's because I'm drunk.
Hey, shh, don't let the secret out.
You did say laughing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, besides the Schwarzenegger chance. Oh, my God. But, no, I mean, you have fun at shows, though. You have to have fun.
Oh, yeah. Dude, are you kidding me? We love it. We really do love it. And the people are great, and it's just so satisfying because, let's face it, you're like me. I mean, you're putting your heart and soul, and, I mean, it's you in that bottle. You know, it's what you love to do, and when you see people enjoying it and really digging it, and sometimes when you really rip them a ride, you know, it's so satisfying.
Oh, it is. No, it is. I mean, put myself in a bottle. I thought you weren't going to let out the secret ingredient. Oh, no.
No, the secret ingredient. I have no secret ingredients, huh?
I'll talk to Diane about that one. But I'll tell you what. Now you got into it.
My secret ingredient is love.
Oh, isn't that special?
Yes.
And mine's hate. That's why we get along so good.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, we're yin and yang, baby.
There it is, buddy. Now I got a question for you. What's your favorite pepper?
Oh, dude, you know, I would say there's about three. I love, love, love the cherry pepper.
Okay.
I really love the Italian, the long hot fryers.
Right.
You know, I don't mean the guys in the robes with the funny haircut either. yeah, I don't think I could ever be a monk. I couldn't dig that hairstyle. And my favorite would probably be, I'm really digging this Ed Curry's Carolina Reaper. I'm really.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Really,
yeah, that's right. You do have a product with the Reaper. What's the name of that one?
That is the Crimson Reaper.
The Crimson Reaper. Yeah, that's right.
Yep, Crimson Reaper. Yeah, it just came out about a month ago, and it's doing really well.
Okay, cool. I mean, people are liking it.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? They're really digging it. Well, the thing is, too, it has a Reaper. It has it's a full mouth burn. It has the Reaper pepper for that slow burn. It
right.
has the habanero in it for the tip of the tongue kind of burn. And then
okay.
it has the jalapeno in it for, you know, just an all-around burn, you know, just the full mouth burn.
Right, right.
It's a little bit of a tomato base with a little peach and mango, so it's slightly sweet at first. But then that
just like you.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. It'll behave.
Oh, God. Behave. Oh, no.
Oh, behave. Oh.
Now, when you say the cherry peppers, you mean the ones with the pickled ones like a B&B?
I'm sorry?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Now, when you say the cherry peppers, you mean like the ones in brine, like the pickled ones, or?
No. All fresh. All the hot cherry peppers. I like I do like the pickled ones too, but I just love fresh hot chili peppers, man. They're just sauteing and we're cooking them up with a little pasta. I mean, you know,
absolutely,
because
you know what you know what I found. Well, you know what I found is the chili, that, to me at least, I mean, everybody's a little different. me a lot different. But with the cherry peppers, if I eat them fresh, they're fine. It doesn't destroy me. When they're in the pickling solution or that brine stuff, it tears me up. I don't know what the
really?
Deal is with that thing. I can eat pickles. I can eat the pepperoncini, but those cherry peppers in that brine, whatever it's in, it kills me.
Really? Wow, that's
it's
fun,
not.
Man.
It's not because it's too hot. It's just my stomach. Yeah, it's just because I'm weird.
Oh well, yeah. Well, I'm weird too. But it affects all those weirdos differently, I guess.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
yeah,
but I do. I love the cherry pepper because it makes me randy.
Oh, God. Enough
Austin Powers.
So with the cherry peppers, you go into like the Spanish fly sauce? Is that what we're looking at?
I'm sorry, John, say that again?
You can make like a Spanish fly sauce with the cherry peppers because they're full of love?
Oh, I don't know. Watch out the next time you have a beer. It might slip a little in your beer there.
Oh baby, oh give me the roofie.
Yes.
Now what other kind of products do you have, man?
I have a line of seven hot sauces, and I have a killer barbecue that I came out with about 2 years ago, and that's, as a matter of fact, I'm sold out right now. I gotta I got a call in Dorfman Farms. That's a plug for you, Adam. And
hey, good. I love it. We all love Adam. Adam is awesome.
Yeah, Dorfman Farms, man, they rock, man. They really
do. Yeah, they really do. And it's amazing how many Dorfman Farms, bringing him up. You got to love, out of that last New York City Hot Sauce Show, when they hand out the Screaming Mimi Awards, he took like 8 or 9 out of the dozen or 13 of them. He was happier than a pig and crap.
Yeah.
it was just unbelievable. He had a grin face to face. But I mean, Dorfman Farms is definitely one of the biggest and best co-packers that I know of. I mean, makes a great product, and he sticks to your recipe. He doesn't try to finagle with it at all. He sticks to right what you want and just does it. It's incredible.
Oh yeah, I mean, the owner Scott and his wife Michelle and Mandy, they're all those guys. That whole EF crew, they're just freaking awesome.
And they will bend over backwards to help you, to make you happy, which is something not all of them do. You know, they're just like, you know, if you need to run like quick by accident, you ran low on something, they'll kind of force it through, not all the time, but they'll do their best to get you what you need. So it's really good.
Oh yeah, no, they've helped me out in a couple, you know, short deadlines, and they've always come through for me. I love those guys.
Yep, and they pack their stuff right. I don't think we've gotten a busted thing yet from them. I mean,
I've never had one busted bottle ever from those guys.
That's cool. You know? That's cool. That's a big thing. I mean, people don't realize when you're shipping stuff from down in Florida all the way up to the Northeast, that stuff's tumbling around a little bit in trucks. You know, that's going some distance. And you don't know. I mean, I've had paddles arrive that look like a meteor hit it. I mean, it's just like, and they try to repackage it to make it look good, and the guy drops and tries to get you to sign off on that thing, and he's running down the driveway. Oh no, dude, we're gonna unwrap this right here. And meanwhile, all the boxes in the middle are shredded.
Right. Right.
Oh man, I think we've all been there, and it's not a habit. Happy. But what other kinds of sauces? You said you have 7 different kinds of hot sauces. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, I mean, I have a whole line. I have like from mild to medium, and when I say mild, it is actually the hot chili pepper sauce that I actually had taken. I haven't done awards or entered awards, and for a long, long time. But when I first came out, I remember I got the Buddha had given me the Lenny. In honor of his father, when his dad passed away.
But, yeah, that's actually, nobody even mentions that award that much anymore, and it's kind of a shame. We have one too, and I think what Buddha does with that Lenny Award, it's named out. If people out there don't know what a Lenny Award is, it was Buddha's dad who passed away recently, and he actually made up an award named after his dad Lenny, and it's a big heart on a stand. We win all these other different kinds of awards and stuff, but that one kind of sets apart, because that's like a heartstring award. You know, it's really kind of cool.
Oh no, totally. Yeah, I mean, it's all about emotion with that one. I mean, it was a great tribute to his dad, and I love it.
Absolutely.
Right here at my computer station. But
in my office. It's sitting. Yeah, it's right on my shelf in my office. Yep.
Yeah. He gave me that for the hot chili pepper, which I also got my first event I ever entered was the Brooklyn event, the Hot Sauce Expo from Steve Seabury, when I got the best for the novelty. I got the Screaming Meme for the novelty category with that sauce.
Yep. And you're a happy little pig that day, too.
Dude, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm, like, standing there, and I wish Diane could have been there, too, but she had a man in the booth, a woman in the booth, rather, sorry. Let's be gender correct here. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, I'm from Stratford, Connecticut. And I'm, like, turning my head left and right, looking around, who the hell else here is from Stratford? Tom's right. I'm like, booyah!
Oh, yeah. See, you know what the funny thing is? We didn't even enter the first year, and I kind of wish we did. We just didn't even enter.
I'm glad you did, man, because,
stop it. Oh, my God.
You know, I was just, for me, that was like the first competition I ever entered since I've been in business in 4 years. And,
right.
I mean, to be among all my peers, all these guys who have been doing it for so long, and then when I got the, you know, that category, best, you know, not, I was like, God damn, I actually started to cry.
Well, you're just that sensitive kind of guy.
Well, yes, I am, and I'm sorry, but I am.
I'll give you a big hug next time I see you.
You promise?
Yes, dear.
Okay.
I got a question for you. Are you doing that? You doing the Kempton Pepper Jam gig next weekend or no?
No, I am not. I'm going to take it a little easy after what my son went through with his operation stuff. We're not going to be doing.
Oh yeah. How's he's doing? Okay.
he's doing awesome. He went to the they went to the surgeon today, and they removed a couple of staples from the first they first had to do an endoscopy, whatever it is that they tried to do with the camera going down in and you know, a couple of little holes. So they took both staples up, but the big incision is still there and it's doing great.
Well, hey, like that's what we talked about. Yeah, we talked about the big incision, but scars are like they're like war wounds. I mean, it attracts chicks.
Well, that's what I told him. Like, dude, man, I said, just big scars, dude. You
know? It's it's a battle wound. It's like being a pirate. You know, it's freaking awesome.
Right.
Yeah, but anyway, so what? I mean, what are shows? You got some shows coming up, right? You got shows coming up in the next couple of months, or?
Yeah, we have. We're gonna be doing. We have a big event on Saturday at 6-7. It's the Stratford Main Street Fest. It's huge for us because we like to do a lot of local events.
Okay.
And we have the Great American Weekend in Goshen, New York on 7-5. That's a two-day event. That's always huge for us. It's a great turnout. It's a great day. Goshen, New York is beautiful. And we have a Chili Pepper Fest in Bowers, PA. On,
Bowers. Everybody loves the Bowers gig. Bowers is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You're crazy.
And,
but the Bowers, I think I talked about that last week or the week before. The Bowers gig, if anybody can make it to that one, that's just enormous. I mean, it's in the middle of freaking nowhere, and it's huge. I mean, it's stupidly huge.
It's
so
amazing.
But,
that's like our jewel every year.
Now, are these upcoming events on your website? Or
they will be. I've been negligent on it just because what's been going on, you know. But
you're Tom Slacker, not Tom Slosser. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Yes, I have. I'll admit it. I guess guilty as charged. But,
okay.
I will definitely get them all up because I mean we're doing events from now until the end of December. But,
right.
If you want to get back to any of my sources, you know, I like spool all over the place here.
Right.
If anybody wants to see
all the sites or all the shows Tom's going to be doing and they're not on the site, hit the contact us and ream them out because he should have them on the site.
Reaming out with the roids?
Yeah, they're a little kick in the ass for you.
rip my roid.
Yeah, I'm going to rip your roids. Oh, my God.
But, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. Just want to make sure we're plugging all your stuff here because you are the guest, you know. You're the special guy tonight.
Yeah,
and,
I am.
And actually, right. You know what? And you're going to be the last hot sauce guy for maybe a week or two because next week we got a barbecue guy, or I'm sorry, a chili guy coming on here.
Oh, wow. Then I hope I leave a good impression with people then.
And you even know this guy.
Who?
I'm not telling.
Because
he hasn't said yes yet. No, we're gonna switch it up a little bit, but I wish you guys the best of luck this year. You know, with the upcoming shows, you know, stay on Facebook, get the word out, and update your damn website so everybody knows where you guys are gonna be. Because you got some really good sauces. I've had a bunch of them over the years, and you really got good stuff.
Yeah.
And Tom and Diane, they're like the cream of the crop kind of people. They're just like us. I mean, who can get better than that? Nah. But the
gotta come by. Huh?
What's that? No, good.
I said they definitely have to come by our booth though, so they can hear us doing our Arnold impersonation.
Oh yes, yeah, that's
I mean?
True. Yes, we scream Schwarzenegger quotes at people as they walk by. It's become like a vaudeville act almost. Our wives are totally mortified by it, but we have a ball. It doesn't matter.
Hey guys.
Yeah. Oh, the teacher's
what?
Here.
Hey guys,
This is great,
and I'm sitting here in the Denny's booth, and it's time for dessert. Do you guys want a cinnamon apple pie milkshake?
Yeah, why not? Put some DEFCON in it.
Oh, man.
It's almost time for your show to end. I just wanted to jump in and interrupt like I always do this to let you know. And I'm going to go back and eat my milkshake. But you guys have a nice evening.
Absolutely,
man.
Hey, we'll see. I'll talk to you next week, dude.
Yeah, thank you for
all right.
The opportunity, guys.
Well, Tom, hey, it was great having you on today. And maybe we'll do a follow-up on you during the summertime when you're doing all of your events. Maybe even catch you at an event. That would be kind of cool. But definitely, man, I look forward to seeing you guys again. I guess we're not gonna, probably not going to see each other until Bowers, I'm thinking. But you never know. You just never know.
That's too long, man. Well, dude, you
well,
know,
hey.
You know,
well, no, that, like, the angry Peppers having a show coming up soon too. But we're not going to be able to make that
one. Yeah, that's
so.
June 8th. But you know what? You do is call me, dude. Let me know when you're coming up here. You know, I'll make sure I'm not around.
Ah, listen to you. Get out of here. All right, man. Let me do my log out here. And hey, Tom, I'll talk to you very soon on the phone or on Facebook, man.
All right, brother, man.
And have a good night, folks. Talk to you next week. DefConSauces. DefConSauces.
Bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like